But the big thing in room 237 is that the whole decor of the room matches up with the Queen of Cups card in Crowley's Thought Tarot, right down to, like, the color of the wallpaper is the same as the color of the border on the tarot card in the Book of Thoth deck, and then the carpeting matches the pattern of the Queen of Cups, the image of the Queen of Cups herself. And then once you get to room 237, it is the Emerald City. Which is where, of course, Dorothy encounters the wizard.
Right, which is awesome.
And knows that she has to kill the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yep.
So you've got
That's awesome.
I love that even in Strange Love, the guy, the first atomic bomb to drop has a cowboy riding on top of it.
Yes, Major Kong, the beast again, just like Animal Mother.
Yeah.
So the beast is the first guy through the door when he exits the movie with the girl. And again, it's the girl that allows them to exit the movie. And, you know, as I said before, there's no way in the Supernal Mystery except through Babylon and the beast on which she rides, as Crowley says.
Yep.
You gotta know your Crowley to decode Kubrick.
Yeah, and I feel that.
Can I, something when you guys were talking, go back to this idea of we are in a world of shit, right? In Full Metal Jacket, it's all about we're in a world of shit. Well, isn't there even the expression shitting bricks?
Uh-huh.
Shitting Kubrick.
Yeah.
Of course, all this death is the fertilizer for something new. You know, there is this strange interplay where why we see sex and death so connected, because something, a new creation springs out of both. Even, you know, so the death, all this genocide is horrible and ugly, but in a weird sort of perverse way, it is creating fertilizer, it's creating shit out of which something can grow, or hopefully something can grow. I just wonder, it seems to me what Kubrick saw growing out of it, if we take Eyes Wide Shut as any evidence, you know, he saw this sort of, you know, imperial sex ring. That was what they were trying. You know, there is something growing out of it. There's something that's prospering off this death, but it's not us. It's not humanity.
Right.
Although,
well,
the idea that at the end of Clockwork Orange, you know, the horrible politician. So of course these are the genocidal psychopaths in the government. When they try and recruit Alex, you know, I've seen a lot of things where people are saying, like, oh, it's glorifying psychopaths. But I don't think so. I think when the politician offers Alex the job, it's saying, you're like us. It's basically a condemnation of the politicians. It's saying, look at this horrible psychopath, murderer, rapist, and the politician says, we got a job for you. You can come be with us because you're like us. You are,
right.
You know, so it's really, if you read it correctly, I think, it's saying the politicians are the psychopaths. It's at the end of the movie, it's really a slap in the face of the political system.
Right.
But at the end of, I just want to say, so at the end of Eyes Wide Shut, after this whole idea of trying to, you know, basically try and get laid, how does the movie end? But with them, in a way, imitating, David, you had said about imitating the elite, or however you phrased it, it's this idea of seeing all this stuff, and then at the end, you know, her going like, well, we need to fuck. We need to be like this.
Yeah, totally. So, Yeah, go ahead. You know, there's that quote from Kubrick in response. There's a letter that he had, this person who had published all this shit about Clockwork Orange, basically saying that it's pro-fascism and this and that, and that he wants a resurgence of fascism. And he hadn't responded to anything about Clockwork. He wanted to just leave it to people to decide. But there was all this hoopla around what this guy had wrote. So he wrote him a letter basically explaining that it was a warning against, this is a quote, the new psychedelic fascism. The eye-popping, you know, basically what some people believe will lead to zombiedom. And that's pretty far out, especially with all the zombie movies coming out one after the other. You know, I don't know.
My wife and I were having this conversation last night on the trip back, and this was after seeing the 77793 and Crowley truck and all that. We ended up getting to a conversation specifically about the zombie, the like surge of media about zombies. You know, zombie books, zombie movies, zombie everything. And, you know, I was on the phone with Doug, and that's right. I was actually on the phone with Doug, and we were talking about it. And we, you know, I had made the point that the first real zombie movie, you know, Dawn of the Dead, of course, takes place at a mall. It's a criticism of brainless consumerism. And I feel like what's happened is, that we've gotten really, for some, you know, pop has consumed even that, and we've forgotten what it was actually a warning for. We forgot what the metaphor was, and we're just promoting all this zombie apocalypse. And it's funny that it's the very same pop culture that it's sort of warning against is the very same thing spreading the idea of, oh, here comes the zombies.
Yep. Totally.
That's always the fundamental paradox. Either you're entranced by the illusion, or you get the message and find your way out.
Right.
See through the mirage of the hero fan.
So Clockwork Orange, you know, I've always just very in a specific way, I've always identified with Alex's treatment sessions of having his eyes glued open and staring at images over the sounds of the symphony is really that's the American public itself, right? That the American public is being treated so that there is a monster in every one of us, that we pretend that we're not capable of what we're not capable of what Alex is capable of, but that's only because we grew up with the treatment. That had we not been treated since we were born into this world, we very might well be a droogie on the side of his army.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that if you fear your neighbor, right, which is the whole thing with zombies, is you're afraid anybody could be that scary fucking, could turn into that fucking scary ass thing, you know, or that they already are is the other thing. As soon as they get bit by a zombie, they might not know and they could be hiding it or whatever. It promotes a kind of overcoming of your neighbor. It's like that's the fascism is the like, you know, I don't know. It seems to promote kind of a struggle in a way that wouldn't otherwise be there if you weren't so afraid of, you know, the person sitting next to you in the theater, you know?
Yeah, it's even a Cold War mentality of, like, you know, your person next to you might be a communist, or post 9/11 mentality. The person next to you might be a terrorist. It's that same idea. Mm-hmm. It's just lurking within all of us. But I think from a more monomyth standpoint, it's the heart of darkness that lurks in all of us, right?
Right. So that was what came up with the whole Apocalypse Now thing that we went into, was I'm like, Heart of Darkness, and then I'm like, who's in the movie Heart of Darkness? The, you know, the one that's to be closer to the book, but John Malkovich. And then there's being John Malkovich, but then there's John Malkovich, Color Me Kubrick, where he plays this person who everyone thinks is Kubrick. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
John Malkovich plays basically Dr. Strangelove in Mulholland Falls.
That's
that
right. Play. Totally.
But he's basically just Dr. Strangelove.
Uh-huh. But then Any Color You Like, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, open up Dark Side of the Moon, there's the heartbeat inside. Dark Side of the Moon, heartbeat, moon is RR, right? Red Rum. I don't know.
Now, who's Tim Roth in that movie? Is Tim Roth hurt?
In Heart of Darkness?
Right.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it.
I just watched Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, where Tim Roth is one of the two, and then Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, Sirius.
Yeah, Sirius Black is the other guy, and you know, it's all about being trapped in a movie again, or trapped in a play, for these most times.
Right, same premise. You're like walking out of the theater with Full Metal Jacket. It's a perfect sync. Yeah. Huh.
Tim Roth, Honey Bunny, the going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, Sid Vicious.
Have any of you ever seen the movie Four Rooms?
Yeah.
So Four.
Yeah, Madonna.
Yeah,
the Virgin is the witch.
That's
a coven
really
of
interesting
witches.
Movie. It basically the first room has the. Raising of Madonna as the witch. So this is so Bill says he's never seen it. It's basically Tim Roth as a bellhop in this hotel, and then he encounters these four different rooms. So it's basically a series of four vignettes, and each each room is directed by someone different. Yes, Tarantino directed the fourth room. But I believe each room is directed by someone different. And so, like, the first room is this story about this coven of witches gathering to raise their queen witch up, actually out of the bathtub. And they do it with, they do this sex ritual, and they need Tim Roth's semen to raise Madonna from the bathtub. And actually, at the last scene, features the Tarantino directed one, features a contest of trying to light a lighter. So it's, you're trying to start a fire, and if the guy couldn't light his lighter, I don't know, like five times in a row, they cut his finger off. So of course he doesn't even get light it like the first time or something, and they just cut his finger off with a cigar cutter. But this is. Of course, this is like going back to Osiris. So you have a sort of full circle in there of Tim Roth encountering the risen witch queen in this sort of moon ritual, and at the end, the sort of dismembering of Osiris. I think it's interesting.
Did you catch that? There's an Easter egg at the end during the credits where the girl takes off her towel and she's got the blonde hair. The girl who didn't have the blonde hair before, because she's fucking secretly the witch that they brought out of the cauldron.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I noticed that the last time I watched it, which was years ago, but yeah. Yeah, I called it an Easter egg.
I heard the same thing. Very nice.
You think that Madonna was into her Kabbalistic studies at that point?
Not with the teacher that she has now. She may have gotten into some occult stuff on her own, but yeah.
What is your opinion of her broadcasting an identity? I don't know if she's done that explicitly or if she's just sort of worn the right shirts and said the right little catchphrases for people to report on all things Madonna, but... how much do you know of her study and her involvement in that?
I just read something that was basically transcribed from her teacher, who I don't resonate with that kind of Kabbalah. That's like Kabbalah with a Q or something, you know. But I did like my rabbi printed out for me this pamphlet, basically taking the serpent of the garden and saying that it was a camel. I think it was they were taking it from the Gemara or something, but they were looking at this correspondence between the camel and the serpent, which my rabbi thought I would find interesting, which I did in relationship to Gimel, because I had this whole thing with my rabbis smoking camel cigarettes and looking at from the Phoenician the pictograph that corresponded to Gimmel used to be a death stick, which is basically a lance, which I was thinking about last night in relationship to Lance in Apocalypse Now, like a little song, a little dance, Batman's head on a lance, and that, and he's the one who drops the acid, you know. You drop acid, man, far out.
Of course, I connect that to like the Grail mythos with that lance and all that. Lancelot, I mean.
Totally.
But go on.
No, it was just, that's basically what I'm where I'm going with it. I'm kind of, you know, and like right now in this conversation, I'm trying to think of MMs because I was looking at, well, 13M. As long as I'm going to go there with the moon, I might as well go there with the RR. I might as well go there with the MM. And then I'm like, the end of fucking Full Metal Jacket, Mickey Mouse. Yeah. It's just another one. Matthew Modine, Mickey Mouse. It's a private joke, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
but that connects to Danny Torrance in The Shining with the Mickey Mouse shirt. That's another kind of right. Style chat resonator.
Right. There's also the bartender, Lloyd, because it's Danny Lloyd, and they're all using yeah. the real name. So it's a think wink, yeah.
Well, Pink Floyd's The Wall is divided into two sides of 13. So you have an MM sort of encoded in the two sides of the wall.
Interesting.
Two albums. It's 13 songs on the first album and 13 songs on the second album.
Wow.
And which I connected to the line in that movie, which plays very nicely in the Transformer arrangement of meme, right? And the 13 fountains of divine wisdom that flow down. But in all, he says, I have 13 channels of shit on the TV to choose from. That,
right.
That the world has taken away his divine consciousness and put a cube in front of him, that which is the whole McLuhan-esque, you know, detuning of the sense ratios. And whereas you used to get the 13 channels of divine thought, now you just get bullshit.
Oh, fuck, I get it. So that's the thing with, this is where we come in. So the at the very end of the wall, in the last little split second, it goes, this is where. And then at the very beginning of the wall, it says, we come in.
And well, so that's the whole James Joyce. That's the whole Finnegan's Wake. That's the whole return. It's the James right. Joyce ends and then begins with the single sentence.
Right. It's the great conjunction. Well, wow, that's fucking perfect.
And, you know, I rearranged the Wall album by starting with the second in the flesh and play the album from that starting point, because it is a continuous song cycle. It was only divided into four parts because of the available technology that they had back in the day. So there's almost a kind of beautiful symmetry with the four letters. I'm not even going to go that far, but you see where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Which is very odd when I sequenced my viewing of the John Carter movie with The Wall. I played The Wall from the starting point that I do with the Transformer. I started with the second in the flesh. And had I not done that, it wouldn't have worked. I mean, it's just a complete hammer. I mean, when John Carter gets thrown into the prison cell, he says, I've been waiting in this cell all this time. I mean, it's just, it kind of, to walk in blind to a movie I've never seen and put on a timing that seemingly is my own and to have it completely line up was, well, it's just one of those moments that you look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But it's definitely I don't know. I don't know if I can reconcile the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet and then extending it into the 26 letters of the English alphabet. I don't know if I understand that leap or that or understanding how that grows out or if there's meaning to that.
What do you think of that, Jason?
The letters of the alphabet? I don't know.
Well, no, the whole thing with there'll be an English, you know, gematria or Kabbalah, you know, like that there's math inherent in the English language. If there was intention with that initially, if you have any ideas, I don't know.
I don't know about the intention. The patterns are definitely there. Whether that's intentional, I don't know. I'm not a big math guy, so.
Is it, so okay. 26 is the gematria for Yahweh, correct?
Yes.
So the English alphabet is doing that as 26. So I guess the question would be, what? It's 22 plus 4. So are these, like, you know, the sort of four elements? Are these the four cardinal directions? Even the four visions? If the 22 is the... If 22 is the trumps of the tarot, you see how on the Wheel of Fortune and the World card both feature those four beasts of Ezekiel's vision, right?
Well, there are four minor suits, so you could say the four extra letters.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good. That's a very good point. Has anyone thought of the idea? I thought of it last week after we were talking. Is it the Page of Swords on the rider deck, where it's the he's on the horse with, like, the lightning behind him? I think it's I have to check if it's Page of Swords. But it made me think of, we were talking about Rider on the Storm, and ultimately this is the rider deck. So the rider on the storm. Here's, like I said, I have to check. I really think it's page of swords.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, no, I've tripped out on rider deck and riders on the storm before, and Fear and Loathing has been coming up a lot lately, oddly enough. And we're all riders on the storm, you know, as he's on the merry-go-round deal. Let me see. Lucy giving the milk in A Clockwork Orange, and Christina Ricci as Lucy in Fear and Loathing, and her starring in that show Pan Am. I don't know.
Lucy Van Pelt and Peanuts, of course, between the pillars and the psychiatric health booth. Go on.
I'm just trying to actually look it up. Page Swords.
You guys want to take a 5-minute break and then continue again?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Cool.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, and packed her out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone. An actor out on loan. Riders on the storm.
Famous Knights of Swords in this book by Duquette lists John Wayne, John F. Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe. I mean, who are we talking about here?
Really?
Yeah.
For people who are ruled by it?
As far as, you know, I think astrological...
Where does he get that? Is that from the 21st degree of Taurus to the 20th degree of Gemini? The people whose sun sign or such, or what?
Yeah, that's what I think he's drawing it from.
Really?
Yeah.
So repeat that. Repeat the name again.
I'm starting recording. I'm starting recording. So let's
backtrack and kind of start from Knight of Swords and what you were building off of Knight of Swords, Page of Swords.
I was mistaken. I said it was probably Page of Swords that I was envisioning, but it's actually the Knight of Swords. And I was saying from the rider deck, the rider on the storm, here we see this knight going into, like, he's charging, and there's this, like, very chaotic winds behind him. So I was envisioning him as the rider on the storm.
Okay.
Then so David.
Here, he brings up Revelations 9:9.
Wait,
which I have in here.
In relation to, because then we looked at the Thoth deck version, and it shows a horse with four wings, almost like a helicopter wing or a locust wing.
Right. And so here it says, and they have breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots or of many horses running to battle. Okay. And they had tails unto, like, scorpions, but here, so you have, that's 9, and then here's 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. I'd have to see it in Hebrew to know how to say it, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Looks like Apollo with a Y and an N in
there. Now remember, Kubrick wanted to make a movie about Napoleon.
Right.
Probably for that reason.
Wow.
Wait, say that again?
Kubrick wanted to make a movie about Napoleon for that reason.
Yes.
That was like his whole fucking conquest there that never followed through. So, okay. So I have here opened the Thoth book to Knight of Swords. Okay, so Knight of Swords represents the fiery part of air. He is the wind, the storm. Okay, so he represents... Okay. He represents the violent power of motion applied to an apparently manageable element. He rules from the 21st degree of Taurus to the 20th degree of Gemini. Okay, cut to there, to what you're looking at, William, in the, who was it that did the Crowley?
It's Lon Milo Duquette's, Aleister Crowley's Thoth Tarot book.
Okay, and... now who is under the 21st degree of Taurus and 20th degree of Gemini in their sun signs?
He lists famous Knights of Swords include John Wayne, John F. Kennedy, and Marilyn Monroe.
It's just crazy.
And then William made the observation of Apocalypse Now with the helicopter turns into the fan above him, and the wings on this guy are like total helicopter the fucking fan, which is right coming out of the end. And so, you know, here he is the wind, the storm. He's the rider on the storm. And the other part of this is that when we go back and forth, you go from the rider deck, which is the Knight of Swords, to the Knight of Swords of the Crowley deck, the knight is actually the king. And so, you know, he doesn't have kings in his deck. They're replaced by the knights because change is the basis of stability and not the other way around. And so they have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit.
And something else from the Revelation thing was that these are scorpions with the face of man. But the scorpion tail, of course, is that sword. So when we see him charging with his sword is the same as the scorpion's tail. And he, of course, has the face of a man. But for whatever reason, the Thoth deck feels the need to give him those locust wings, I think, is fascinating.
Totally. Yeah. And they keep everyone in pain for 5 months or whatever in the book, and they come out of the abyss. So what a fucking trip.
It seems like the dominant color in the Knight of Swords card is that of brown. It's a drawn brown sword. The hair is brown. The eyes are dark. As far as, you know, a connection to a world of shit, seemingly this brown coloring goes along with the theme of the image.
What's a deuce in poker? What's a deuce? It's shit, right? I mean, do you have deuce, you drop a deuce, but what's a deuce in fucking poker?
Well,
number two, right?
Yeah.
Right,
duh. Well, that's the first day of the tetragrammaton, yeah. Right?
But like you even say, like, I'm gonna go take a number two, like little kids say, you're going number one or
so
number two.
The four deuces on the Tree of Life, according to Crowley, correspond to the same placement as the knights, which are or kings, which is Chokhmah. So Chokhmah is the knights, which is right above the abyss to the right.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're gonna be in a world of shit. It's the four deuces.
Yeah, that's right there.
That's funny. Huh, interesting.
Well, and then that path from Chokhmah to Binah, right, is the 14th pathway, which is the pathway of Dalet, which is the door, the doors.
Right, the doors to Binah, to Chokhmah, yeah.
So, Jesus.
Isn't that the 14th piece of Osiris? The missing piece?
Right, the missing piece, the fucking phallus. That's weird. Huh. Interesting, which is the cross, you know, above the abyss, which is green, which is the throat, which is Venus, too. So Venus is the empress, right? So, you know, that's interesting. He had a sick croon? The way Morrison sang, he described it. So, yeah, that's interesting. The fucking throat. Huh.
Hey, well, I'm this is awesome, but
this is awesome, but
I need to ask. Does anyone know what frames, I'm sure I could just Google it, but I think I'm the right crowd to ask. In the Zapruder film, what frame does he get shot in?
313. I put it in my Love and Rockets draft post. It's in there, man. It's frame 313.
There's your double M.
Yes.
What film is it?
Zapruder. The famous Zapruder film.
I'm not familiar.
JFK getting shot.
Oh, that, yeah.
It's frame 313, so it's the paralleled MM, the 1313, as a sort of palindrome.
Right. My address here, where I live, is 131. Huh. Weird. That's the frame?
That's the kill weird. Shot frame.
The kill shot frame is 131. Far out, man. Jesus.
And in Full Metal Jacket, when Wendy Hartman is talking...
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Oh, I was just saying that when Hartman is talking about Lee Harvey Oswald, the flag behind him says 3093. So it's Magic 93 again.
Oh, wow. And he got shot in front of the Masonic headquarters of fucking Texas. And
yeah,
it's on
Queen usually
Street.
It's the 3092 flag, but for some reason behind him is 3093 when he says that. And then somewhere else in the movie, they talk about the magic show at 9:30.
Oh, that's
so
right.
It's a little ridiculous, fucking things like that in this movie.
Right.
Anyway, what did you think?
Yeah, the magic show at 9:30 hit me over the head like a hammer too. That just is kind of ridiculous.
Tell me about that. I don't know that.
There's just I wish I had a better story to weave around the actual sink, but it's just when I turned my gaze to Full Metal Jacket for the first time, looking for anything to kind of any thread to start pulling it apart. He just tells the boys that, hey, everyone, blah, 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 and then magic show at 9:30, and just...
Yes.
And he says Chaplain Charlie will tell you.
Yes.
Charlie Chaplain? I don't know.
Yes.
That's where he's talking Chaplain about Charlie. Christmas, right? That's their Christmas...
Yes.
The birth of the king, and he says, you better love the Virgin Mary or something.
Right. Yeah. Totally. And then he that's the whole thing. He comes down on Joker because he says he doesn't believe. And then he actually ends up promoting him when he reveals that he doesn't believe. And then he says, whatever answer I give you will be wrong. Sorry, Jill Sargent, you know, whatever.
But that's the promotion of the king. That's literally his, so his elevation in rank comes at that moment. Yeah.
Yes. And so you have the Peanuts Gallery Christmas special with Rushmore. They play the song in the barbershop because the guy who did Rushmore, what's his name? I can't remember his name. But
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, he was a huge Peanuts fan. And so he basically came out and said, yeah, the guy's a barber because the guy who did Peanuts Gallery, I forget his name, his father was a barber. So Max's father in Rushmore, his father's a barber, and then there's the whole kite thing where he flies the kite because Charlie Brown flew the kite. But then I was tripping out on that Osiris gets turned into a kite in like a number of versions of the myth by Isis. And so there's Charlie Brown in the kite. And if you look at the story, I remember it when I was a kid, he gets chased around by this kite. And then there's also the first Peanuts Gallery book that ever came out was Snoopy and the Red Baron, which I actually have here. And if you look at the cover of it, he's got the target, which is the symbol of the sun, hieroglyph on like the front of his fucking doghouse. And, you know, it's death from above. All the death cards from Vietnam came from the actual pack was Airborne Division. And they put these death cards down, you know, like in Apocalypse Now. And they say, let Charlie know who did this. It's Charlie because it's VC, Viet Cong. And then it was Victor Charlie, and then they just changed it to Charlie. But that's fucking weird.
Think about the old folk tale of Ben Franklin flying his kite and discovering, you know, electricity, right? You know, historically incorrect, but this idea of flying the kite and getting struck by lightning, the lightning flash of creation coming down on the kite. Here's a guy who was a member of... Hellfire Club and all this sort of stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, the old story is that he had a key. He had tied a key to the kite.
Right.
So that's that missing key is like Michael's study of the Iron Giant, it's like the missing key is the missing phallus. But it's also, if you look at some first degree tracing boards where you have the ladder reaching up and then the key hanging down.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you were waiting for lightning to strike that.
Right. Which is the Fibonacci 1112358 1, 1, 13 24, you know.
Well, I added a quote to the Charlie Brown kite image in the post over at Mask of God of the end of Divine Invasion by Phil K. Dick, where Herb Asher and Linda Fox go out onto the roof to look at the goat that was Belial that they had destroyed. But it's not an animal body. It's it appeared like the remains of a great luminous kite that had crashed and laid in ruins on the roof.
Huh, cool.
So the way that the kite is menacing Charlie Brown in the image above, it works rather nicely.
Mm-hmm, totally. Huh.
Wait a second. Holy shit. So in fucking Escape from New York, you know, Kotze's old thing of like Snake Plissken rides the glider onto the World Trade Center. So he's the snake. He's the first one through the Egyptian Stargate. As Andras pointed out, he's the winged snake, so he's Quetzalcoatl. But the glider, I mean, what is a kite but a glider?
Uh-huh.
So here, he's the snake riding the casket of Osiris, or the skin of Osiris, however you want to, you know, he's flying on the foreskin of Osiris, however we want to take this. But, because isn't, you know, Set, and when you said, like, if the Knight of Swords is this, rules over this sort of stormy, this stormy atmosphere, that's the same thing as Set, who kills Osiris. He is the god of storms and deserts and foreigners, actually.
Yeah, an illusion. He's the television Set. It's the false illumination. It's like on the big screen they showed us the sun, but never brightened life as the real one.
He's the great magician.
Yeah, I have a record of Orson Welles telling the history of the 60s and 70s like it was biblical. And it's been the message machine on my cell phone for like the last like 2 years, which is just Orson Welles going, and they gathered around the tube, for truly that was the light of the world.
Well, Orson Welles was going to be Colonel Kurtz, I think, as well.
I heard that a long time ago. That's weird. That's true.
So it's going to be the movie director. Right. Yeah. He said he's like Kurtz as Crowley, so he's the great wizard again.
Did you put those pictures up of next to Crowley, the pictures of Kurtz?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? With the two, the Jim Morrison, and then...
Yeah, where did him with his head like the bus come from?
I think it's from the Apocalypse Now. Shoot. I don't know. If you just search for Colonel Kurtz, it's like the first image.
Really?
Crazy,
wow,
right?
That was weird, man. And he's got one eye with the fucking thing over it.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any more perfect, because the end appears on the Doors debut, which has Morrison's eye blotted out, and then I come and find another picture of Kurtz with his eye in the darkness, like they did it intentionally. And it's the same eye, and which reminds me of Horus and Osiris, you know, in relation of the eye thing, which Lady Gaga.
There's also the symbolism where it's like he's like the illuminated man, though. Like he's the old Rex Namorensis, and then Martin Sheen has to come and kill him and become the new king. He's
right.
The old lizard. And so there's this whole thing where Kurtz is kind of like illuminated. Like,
did you know? I'm sorry.
No, go on.
That fucking Charlie Sheen,
Yeah, Charlie.
And wants to emulate Kurtz more than anything in the world. And for like years, he's been fucking watching. He leaves Apocalypse Now running on repeat, like constantly in his home, and basically wants to be Colonel Kurtz.
Yeah, I saw some interview Charlie Sheen stuff last year, where I mentioned that. He said he was going up the river to kill Kurtz, who was a part of himself. That was what he said last year.
Yeah.
And he was also talking about surfing on a Mercury surfboard over a tsunami.
Silver Surfer. Mercury.
Yeah, and you know, Charlie don't surf, but apparently Charlie Sheen does.
Right. That's weird. Oh, my God. That's so good.
Last year was fucking crazy, man. With this Jared Lerner thing and then Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even really like to get into it. It's just too crazy.
It is pretty crazy. And then I was looking at this whole thing. It was actually a really convincing conspiratorial argument about the Titanic with the Jesuit deal, where basically these three richest men who were basically all against the Federal Reserve all died on the Titanic. Whereas like this one fucking, I have a link to it on the blog just there underneath Martin Sheen's picture with his face with blood and he's holding the fucking cross kind of a ceremony respecting Jesuits who were killed. But it's pretty fucking weird. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, exactly. Martin Sheen was the president on the West Wing. Bill just dropped in here. I mean, all the stuff last year, as Jason said, was pretty fucking intense. But, you know, the whole Jared Lee Loner thing, this strange, you know, assassin thing, while we're talking about actors and their fathers, have you heard the conspiracy theory that... it was Woody Harrelson's father was one of the three tramps from the JFK shooting, the three tramps. There's a photo of the three tramps, and people have this theory that it's Woody Harrelson's father, right? Woody Harrelson, the natural-born killer.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm there with you, which I was thinking about last night watching Harold and Maude.
He's also in Scanner Darkly, right?
Yes,
he is.
Woody Harrelson is also the conspiracy theorist in 2012.
Is he really?
I haven't seen that. I can't bring myself to watch that.
It's not a good movie.
God. Fuck.
Okay, so Martin Sheen. I watched one episode of this show, Touch. Just I forced myself to do it, and I watched one episode. I wasn't really impressed. But so people have made the point that the kid's last name is Bohm, and he's Jake. So is this a reference to Jacob Bohm, right?
Oh, Jacob's Ladder is the big thing with The Shining. That was like a huge clue. Stephen King, his son's name was Jacob, and the book is dedicated to him in the wake of his death. Jacob's Ladder is like the one of the big fucking songs that's played, that's orchestrated. It's the one in Room 237 that they're playing at the time is Jacob's Ladder. And so you have
really?
The whole... Yeah, really.
There's this whole Jacob's Ladder Lolita thing that keeps coming up. In all of the movies, basically.
They say that the spot where Jacob had his dream of the ladder in is actually where the Kaaba rests, which is also taken to be the sacrificial mound where Abraham was going to kill his son Isaac, but was stopped by an angel who many take to be Metatron. And we put in that placement the cube of the Kaaba, which you could take as another version of the Tefillin cube, which is Shaddai in the scroll inside, which is 314. Metatron is the architect in The Matrix. When he goes to see the architect, he's given 3 minutes and 14 seconds to meet with him in this room with all the television sets, you know? So I don't know. I've been tripping out on that. That's like a big one for me.
Well, I just want you guys to think of this. When I was watching Touch and I saw that the father's name was Martin, the first thing I thought of was Martinism. So now when you're mentioning Martin Sheen, I'm thinking the same thing. And I don't know which one of you it was put up this beautiful set of images showing all the hexagons in the Kubrick films, like on Lolita's wallpaper.
That was mine, yeah.
Jason, that was awesome. So basically, if you look at the seal of Martinism, it is a hexagram inside a hexagon.
Yes.
Really? That's right. Wow. Hold on.
Yeah, I was going to add some Martinist things, but this post is in a state of flux at the moment.
Yeah, I ended up getting way into the swastika after seeing the swastika on Full Metal Jacket at the end
there. Black Sun. It's the Black Sun again, because in Barry Lyndon, Barry Lyndon is like the Black Sun. He's got the Black Sun on his hat, and then
right, which is once again the
Jack
Kabob.
Has the Black Sun on his chair.
Okay.
He's like our father.
Bill just wrote Martin. The You So Crazy, that old Martin TV show, Martin Lawrence was in a movie called The Black Knight where he wears the 42 jersey on his chest. Is he our knight? Is he the knight we're looking for?
Oh wow, yeah. Huh.
That's too much. And then he dresses up as his neighbor, Shanene. Which, I mean, I don't know where I'm reaching with Shanene, but I'm thinking of Shekinah.
Yeah.
He could have called that character Shekinah, and people would have just thought that was, you know.
Oh, you mean Shekinah? Shekinah.
Shekinah. He could have called her Shekinah.
or as we like to refer to her, Shanene.
Shanene.
I can see Charlie Sheen with a surfboard going Shekinah, like with the hang loose.
Shekinah.
Huh. It's a lot to process.
It always is. I find these calls, I sort of like find my mind starts to melt after. We reached this point.
I know it's a pinnacle point, isn't it?
So you mentioned the swastika or black sun at the end. I have to look it up. I've had a hard time finding images of it, but I believe it was the 2004, but it might have been 2000. But I think it was 2004, Republican National Convention. If you look at the stage, the entire stage is made up of this, it's like a red stage, but it has these black lines coming out of it, and they had these two sort of staircases to the side, and there was an overhead shot that I can't find online anymore, and I haven't looked in a while, but I noticed you couldn't find any images of it, but that stage from I believe it was 2004 Republican National Convention was very much a swastika. It was a red scene with a white walls and then this three black lines. So it's like cut off, but that fourth black line would be the backdrop of the stage, where of course they have a giant video screen. The black monolith is that fourth wall.
Okay. So, I had watched Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and I was tripping out on a number of things, one being W and V, that different people are pronouncing it Hedwig, and some people say Hedwig, and VW came out of Germany, VVV, if you look at it, Vav, 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 666, the Babylonian son of the square, and just thinking about that, but then realizing that the first line of the film is, I am the new Berlin Wall. And she comes out, and this whole thing is about, you know, the two sides of Germany being split, and then she's on one side, and in order to get to the other, she basically has to lose her penis. He has to lose his penis. at that point.
Right, but the fall of the Berlin Wall is the same thing as the falling, you know, it's the falling of the Iron Curtain. It's the falling curtain in the tabernacle.
Right, exactly. And so this is huge. So I was considering this whole thing about the wall basically being, the division, and thinking about what's happened with the wall now with Roger Waters, with Wall Street, and how it's all turned around at Wall Street, and that you have Roger Waters now talking about this whole Occupy movement and this and that. But then how interesting it is with Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen both appearing in Wall Street. If you watch Hot Shots Part Duo, when they're the Apocalypse Now scene with the boats, and they go past each other, and they're like, at the same time, they're like, I loved you in Wall Street. And how basically, I don't know, so this is the other thing. So the swastika itself is shown in the film to be, they have this whole thing going with the symbolism where you have these two people spooning. And that if you take the two spooning people, which is an SS symbol, and then intercross them, you have the swastika. And I bring this up to my rabbi by chance the next day after we watch this. And I tell my rabbi about it. And he's like, I had loaned my rabbi Wilhelm Reich's The Psychology of Fascism like a week ago. And he's like, that's what Wilhelm Reich has to say, is that the swastika is a symbol of basically two people having intercourse. And if you take the SS symbol, you have people spooning. And so I look it up, and there it is, you know. And so that's part of the I put that on the Mask of God. But that is a really interesting point in terms of the division of the self, and the way that they actually show in the film Hedwig and the Angry Inch, but the self dividing is a face that's split in two, which if you put it side by side with Pink Floyd's The Division Bell, the resemblance is uncanny. The correspondence of the divided face, which is actually two faces but one at the same time. And then the Division Bell, of course, goes up on the day the wall came down, people gathered from mile around, so anyways, it was interesting.
And it's another RR that says tear down this wall.
Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan. Exactly.
Tear down this wall.
That's his famous thing. Tear down the wall. Ronald Reagan, RR, totally.